Our ticker symbol is SAM on the TSX. And that's right, Steve. What we just did was a return of capital to investors. So we were able to construct, or in Canadian financial laws, we were able to reconstruct the company. So we reconfigured, we took the African assets out, and it allowed us to dividend half a share of the new company to existing shareholders as of February the 6th. And what we project is that we'll be north of $160 million in revenue per year in the next, I call it 18 to 24 months. Once these three revenue streams come online, we work out any kinks, we work out, flow through the production. So it's really exciting. And to be able to focus on that revenue, Steve, to put it into basic terms, is that I see ourselves as a manufacturer of gold and silver. So we have no need for cash at the moment, and I hope that out of production, we won't need to raise money again. We have 90 million shares issued and outstanding, and with warrants, 103 million fully diluted. So that's it. And so it's still, I like to say, the structure's in good shape.
Good day, everybody. It's just Steve Yang here with Natural Resource Stocks, rather, mining for stories that matter. And I've got with me Robert Gregory Eadie from StarCor, president and CEO, junior producer primarily in Mexico. Robert, how are you?
I'm great, Steve. Thanks very much. It's always a pleasure to sit down and chat with you, a fireside chat as we usually do.
I love it. Robert, let's start with just some news. We saw that you spun out some African assets, and now the dust has settled a bit, and love to know what the focus is now, and what kind of value has been created for shareholders.
Okay, and for shareholders, it's StarCor International Mines. So it's www.starcor.com. Our ticker symbol is SAM on the TSX. And that's right, Steve. What we just did was a return of capital to investors. So we were able to construct, or in Canadian financial laws, we were able to reconstruct the company. So we reconfigured, we took the African assets out, and it allowed us to dividend half a share of the new company to existing shareholders as of February the 6th. And we were extremely pleased to be able to do that as a return of capital. So it was a non-taxable event, and nothing is 100% when you talk about the tax department, but we're 99%, and that 1% will fall on me as a responsibility. So if they do challenge it, which I don't think that they will, because it's a very small part of what our return of capital could be. And so we're very confident with that. And it's also, instead of me speaking about, how important it is to value shareholders and to always be thinking about shareholders, now I get to demonstrate it by dividending it out. And the African assets need to stand alone. It takes a lot of work, and it's a long way away from North America. It takes two planes. It takes 20 something hours to get there. And it really needs a full-time CEO there and manager to manage those projects. So we're excited about that, and it allows us to come back and to focus on what we're doing as StarCor in Mexico and with production.
So what's next for StarCor? What are you focusing on next, and what do you hope to see in the next phase?
Well, I'm focusing on the three revenue streams, the one being a carbonaceous ore, which we believe will be started next week. And the second is oxide ore, or it should be the other way. First is oxide ore. Second is carbonaceous ore. Third is La Tortilla. And as an update for La Tortilla, we had targeted March for our permitting, and we're the community's meeting. So pretty much around the world now, you need two permits. One is a social permit. It's not official, but you in Mexico, you need approval of the community for the project to go ahead. So the community's met once already, and they didn't have quorum. So they're meeting this Sunday, and whether they have quorum or not, they're able to vote on it. And we feel very positive about what we're doing there, and we've found a way which that we can add value to the community fairly quickly. And one of those is to help them with their water and the water purification. And that's not expensive for us, but that's tangible for them. And it shows them that we want to engage with community and protect the environment. So in one of our other interviews, you know, I hold the values that I hold and the company hold are health of our employees, environmentally sensitive, and our fiduciary duty to shareholders.
I just remember being blown away last time I spoke to you. Didn't you say something about like a custom vitamin or something? I've never heard of a company doing that.
No, well, what we were fortunate, we hired a doctor 3 years ago and a nutritionist and to focus on the food. And to, we do blood samples twice a year for the staff, and we test hearing, we test eyes. And that's pretty standard for mining companies. But I took it further. And from the results that we, the confidential results, which now we only use numbers. So everybody has a number. So Steve Yang's number 78910. And that's how you're identified. And nobody knows who that matches. It's kept very confident. But we identify patterns and patterns of the workers. And so what we did is with a group of about 30, two separate groups, is that we used custom-made vitamins and we designed tests, medical tests for them to take 6 months of the vitamins after their medical or their blood tests. And we found very positive results. And it's a slow process. But with the custom-made vitamins, we know how much vitamin is in that particular tablet or sublingual tablet. And so it's a lot more meaningful because of the purity of the vitamin that's in that. So we know what the mix is. If you go to a regular brand on the shelf, I mean, it's got maybe between 10 and 22% of vitamins in it, and the rest is filler. So, but it is a slow process. If you think, well, for the last 20 years, I've gotten up every morning and I've had, you know, coffee, bacon, and eggs. And the doctor tells you got to change that because of your diet, your health. So you have to wait like a year of not doing that before you see even a small amount of change. But it is drawing awareness, and the food is, we have a nutritionist there, and the food, we have seen a great improvement in the day-to-day health of people, which makes people happier. And then in the case of families have become interested in what did they do when they go home feeding their kids. We've drawn their attention to, you know, 2 liters of Coke a day is not good. It's not, not productive.
I know that you're, from our previous discussions, it seems like you're really well connected there. You're well liked. Is that going to help you with the permitting? And do you see any sort of hurdles that what kind of timelines are we looking at here?
Well, we expect on Sunday to get approved, and that's our social, and then the government approval comes quickly. As we've talked in our previous interviews, the process isn't going to, we don't believe it'll be long, arduous, because we're not actually crushing any rock or treating any rock there. What we're doing is taking the rock out, shipping it by truck on a paved road 2 hours to our facility, which is fully permitted to the San Martin mine. And then in response to your question, if you can demonstrate history anywhere in the world, for example, in Africa, we demonstrate what we do in Mexico, and the government is inclined to give us permits faster because we have a track record. We have a 19-year track record. We've been in production, you know, so it speaks for itself. And the facility is environmentally sensitive. That's how I like to put it. We don't have a tailings dam. We have tailings stack. So we extract the chemicals back out after we've used them. Cyanide, pH, zinc. But we extract all that back out and reuse it. And we're always looking at ways to improve what we can do with water or waste, anything.
Robert, can you kind of give us the 50,000-foot view of San Martin, La Tortilla, the three revenue streams, and how much cash are we producing here?
Well, if we take this, say, as you say, the 50,000, look, it's a big property. It's 12,992 hectares, which translates to 10 by 13 kilometers. So, say, 7 point something by 10 miles. And we occupy about 12% of that. It's a big, big system. and we know very little about it. We're working on which approaches with science that we'll be using in order to tell us more about the project, as well as when we continue in mining. So the three revenue streams and us focusing on that, that's why that we decided to dividend out Africa, because it was not enabling me or allowing me to be really focused on these three revenue streams. And what we project is that we'll be north of $160 million in revenue per year in the next, I call it 18 to 24 months. Once these three revenue streams come online, we work out any kinks, we work out, you know, flow through the production. So it's really exciting. And to be able to focus on that revenue, Steve, to put it into basic terms, is that I see ourselves as a manufacturer of gold and silver. That's what we do. We manufacture gold and silver. And now the prices are such that it's time to deliver to market. So if I can deliver to market faster, then that's better. Better for revenue, better for shareholders, better for everybody. So that's what we're focused on.
Robert, what are you doing with fund? My understanding is you don't need to raise any money. Is that still the case? Or can you talk about your share structure and kind of what the plan is with that?
On I think it was March the 2nd, we put out our financials early, and because it was a big mining event, we wanted to have full disclosure out there of what we were actually doing. At that point, we had $12.2 million in the bank, so we have no need for cash at the moment, and I hope that out of production, we won't need to raise money again. We have 90 million shares issued and outstanding. And with warrants, 103 million fully diluted. So that's it. And so it's still, I like to say the structure is in good shape.
Robert, where's your market cap at now? And you know, where do you see maybe the biggest disconnect right now with kind of how you're valued?
Yeah, the market cap as of today, around 80 million, 85 million Canadian in there approximately. I believe that there's a disconnect in the actual value of everything that we have. A producing mine, when I do a peer-to-peer comparison, I see some people trading at much higher values with bigger share structures and less production. But we are getting there. I mean, we are getting acknowledgement. We are being able to go out and present like here, and to be able to tell potential investors about what we're doing. And that's really helped a lot. So we'll continue to do that, as well as doing presentations to small groups of potential investors. So that's helping to tell our story.
In terms of institutions, is the plan to draw more institutions in? What are you guys doing to move that ball?
We've been very successful with high net worth individuals. And we don't have any institutions that I'm aware of. And now if they had bought in the public market, which is not what they normally do, but we don't have any institutions. And are we focusing on that market? I would say we're focusing on the high net worth individuals. And that's that really, really where we've had a lot of traction and success.
Can you tell us a little bit about just kind of the major ownership, any insiders that, you know, own quite a bit, and if you can talk about, you know, how active you guys are on the open market?
Insiders aren't active in the open market. It's a tricky situation because, for example, for myself, there's always material information that I know. And right. So it's extremely difficult. So if I was going on to buy shares, why am I buying the shares? The only way that I've been able to work out with the lawyers is that if I want to buy or sell even 10 shares, I need to disclose to the public what I'm actually doing in advance and then make a statement that I do not know of anything material, which, Steve, in my position, is extremely difficult because there's material things going on all the time. No, but I like to say, you know, there's 10 irons in the fire. And any one of those things could turn. I mean, Sunday we have the meeting with the Ajito and the community, and I expected that to be approved. Well, that's material, but it's soft material, so I can disclose that here. But we're talking with other people about other ventures, other opportunities. We're talking to people with technology, you know, how to improve recoveries. And so I have all that information and I'm the one driving it. So it's very difficult to participate in the market. That being said, I believe I am the largest individual shareholder, owning 7 million shares. And then other management owns another, say 2.5 to 3 million. So we're around 10 million as a management group. And then associated are people that I'm familiar with or people that I speak with on a regular basis. I would say about 35% of the company.
Robert, can you tell us a little bit more about kind of your background and just kind of the pieces you have in place around you, your team that kind of would give investors more confidence that you guys have the right pieces in place in the right seats?
Sure. Let's start with the Chief Operating Officer, Salvador Garcia. He's a mining engineer, career long. He's a Mexican fellow, worked with Goldcorp, worked with some big companies in Mexico over the last, 45 years. And he really as well, he was past president of the Engineers Association of Mexico. He knows everybody. He knows how to get the job done. He's worked for much bigger companies than us, but he likes working with us because we're straightforward and transparent and it doesn't cause him a lot of stress. And he gets support from me and from the CFO. CFO has been with me for 19 years. He was a past auditor and a partner in a firm, decided to come to the dark side and work with public companies. And support staff at the mine. There's 300 people employed at the mine, including employees, union, and contractors. We've been in operation 19 years. So for investors, that's a pretty good track record. We're not new to it, and we're not trying to build Rome in a day. So if anything that we could get criticized on is maybe it's a bit slow. Maybe our development has been slow in the past. And I'll take that, but it's not easy. It's easier, Steve, and I've been in business my whole life. Since I was 19, I had my first business. And I can guarantee you, it's easier to mess it up than it is to keep it online and keep it going. And especially when you look at the events in the last 19 years, as soon as we bought the mine, 2007, 2008, the financial crisis, I mean, that all happened. There's been significant events. And as a management team, we've managed to hold it together and keep the company in production. And so for me, that's something that I'm proud of what we've been able to do. So that, for me, that's confidence in shareholders. And like I said, I wouldn't have, over the years, I accumulated my position. I bought every share. And I wouldn't put everything, you know, all that money into the company if I didn't believe in the future. I believe in the San Martin mine as a much bigger mine than what we know today. So we're working on developing that value. And in mining companies, they say it's only a drill hole away. So, you know, La Tortilla, for example, I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity. And some of the numbers that we've published, I mean, are very conservative. Historical numbers there. I mean, if you can imagine a ton of rock and there being 3 kilos of silver in that ton of rock, 3 kilograms. So that's 6.6 pounds of silver. And that's the sort of, you know, it's spotty, but that's what we're finding there. And what we published is, you know, 550 grams is what we think is the average that we can put through the mill. And at 550 grams, that's very profitable. And with a small sweetener of gold, that makes it even more profitable. So any of those events that help StarCorp or help us in development could change the company dramatically. And so when you're looking at, you know, mining companies, you're looking at production, there's also the element of exploration with the production. So your security or the opportunity for investors is really you're investing in a company that has production and it generates cash flow from production and it puts it back into the company. if it has an opportunity to benefit shareholders, the company does that, and management's proven that. At one time, I think it was 2012, we did a dividend out to shareholders, a one-time dividend because we were fairly fat in cash. And now we're dividending. Now we're dividending out a half a share. So, you know, we do take our jobs very seriously and our responsibility to shareholders. It's paramount.
Yeah. And your tight share structure, that's one of the reasons why I invested. Just for a disclosure for my audience, I personally am an investor in StarCorp. My kids are as well, and we've benefited from the recent African spinoff. So thank you for that. So one of the reasons why we invested was because of the cash flowing, producing junior company that you guys are, and just your vision for the share structure to give back to us. So thank you for that. Robert, for listeners, I'm not giving investment advice. I ask you to do your own due diligence. And one of the ways you can do that is to continue to follow StarCorp's story. Reach out to Robert with questions. Robert, if people want to follow your story, check out your ticker, where did they go and how did they find you?
StarCorp.com. And the ticker symbol is SAM on the TSX senior board.
Awesome. StarCorp is one of our sponsors. We appreciate you, Robert. Sorry I missed you at PDAC, but I got to thank you for the gift. We're looking forward to seeing you in Atlanta.
Great, Steve. Thanks very much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Robert. Bye.